If you were here last week, you sat through a long service, so today I will do my best to get out by noon. Thank you for staying last week and hearing what God has placed upon my heart and about the casual, customized church. You know, if you're not here to hear the sermon, it's going to be on our website, and let me encourage you to take time and listen to it. There are others on there as well, so feel free to listen throughout the week for the ones that you actually missed. Today, I would like to spend time in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 on verses 19 through 25. And I think this will be a good feed from last week. You know, believers in the New Testament times were urged to strengthen each other spiritually, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Today's message is going to be simply entitled, We Need Each Other. You know, if recent polls can be trusted, an expansion of this, what I would say, this lone ranger spirituality is happening in the United States. People come up with a lot of excuses about why they don't go, but church attendance is down. We do know that. Even some biblical beliefs are being abandoned. You know, more people are looking in a lot of different places for the uplift they once sought in church services. You know, how different from Jesus is this? You know, he made it his practice to join in synagogue service on a regular basis. You can see in this simply in the book of Luke chapter 4. But today, people no longer take him, I would say, even as an example. Some don't even take what I said last week about Acts chapter 2, church, seriously. What happens is that some settle for what is loosely called spirituality and try to nurture their souls without the timeless traditions of congregational praise or prayer, biblical instructions, and edifying fellowship. Together, like we do on Sunday mornings, is an uplifting source of comfort. It's inspiration, and I think it gives us emotional strength. So, let's get some of that comfort. Let's get some of that inspiration and strength from God's Word. Let's stand together, get your Bibles, and say these words with me that are on the screen. This is my Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, hide his words in my heart, that I may not sin against God. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way he opened us for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from all evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, the basic principle for the book of Hebrews is to present the sufficiency and also the supremacy of Christ. Most commentators agree the author is unknown, and if you want to do research on your own, feel free, but several suggestions are given. You know, the audience are Hebrew Christians, and they're considering going back to Judaism. You know, more than likely at this time, they're going under persecution probably from Jews and also Romans, so they needed to be reassured Christianity was true and alive and Christ was a true Messiah. We need encouraging and reassurance that Christ is alive and Christianity is not dead. Guys, meeting together on Sunday mornings is not a dead thing. All right? Jesus is alive. He changes everything. You know, that really could be the same. I think that could be the theme of this passage. Jesus is alive, and you know what? He changes everything. You know, the author of Hebrews for the past 10 chapters has been telling these people Jesus is better, and along the way, he has certainly applied the truth to our hearts and also our lives. So in this part, he especially begins to take the truth and tries to work it this deep into our souls. So the first thing I would like to point out is this. We should encourage one another and also the discouraged. You know why I say that? It's from God's Word. In the light of Jesus' perfect sacrifice, we should encourage one another, especially the discouraged, to keep running the race. So if you are here this morning, let the music and message of God's Word encourage you. I say this with boldness. We should have boldness, a bold approach to God. We've got to take advantage of this beautiful access we have to our Heavenly Father and take it with boldness. If you are familiar with Scripture, you will know at one time the high priest entered the holiest place. But we can enter the holiest with boldness. This boldness is a complete contrast to the way the high priest entered the holy place under the old covenant. You know, in the Old Testament, he went with fear and trembling because if he had neglected the smallest item prescribed by the law, well, guess what would happen? He could expect death. We do this by the blood that was shed by Christ. We no longer enter the temple with the blood of animals. We enter a new place and a new and living way with Christ, consecrated with us. And we really come into the presence of God with boldness, as Scripture says. You know, when Christ came and gave up his life and arose, he gave us a new living way. Jesus' death removed the curtain, and all believers can walk into God's presence at any time. You know, the veil once separated the holiest from the holy place. To enter, you had to pass through the veil. But this veil separating man from God's intimate presence is forever opened wide now, being torn in two from top to bottom. If you go to Matthew chapter 27, you can read more about it. You know, the writer to the Hebrews makes this analogy between the veil and that stood between God and man and the body of Jesus. Jesus' body was torn, and so the veil, each indicating now we can come to God boldly, as Scripture indicates. So we should encourage the discouraged to do that. So how do we come boldly before God? We should draw near to God, it says in Scripture. How is it possible that we can even do this, guys? When we read passages like this, it should encourage us to come to our Heavenly Father with the spirit of boldness, as it says. We have the perfect cleansing available to us. There is salvation by grace through faith in the Christian practice of baptisms, the body washed, so we can draw near to God in a way never available to someone under the old law. We can draw near to God because several issues have been settled. The problem of access to God has been settled. The high priest has been settled. The problem with spiritual and moral pollution has been taken care of. Now, here's the point of all this. The encouragement the author is conveying to them, and I also to you, is to draw near, and it wouldn't be given unless it was necessary. There was a real problem going on here. They lost their intimate relationship with Christ, and nothing else seemed to be going right. Who knows what they were thinking? Maybe persecution, right? Like I said earlier, just like us, probably relationship problems, money problems. Who knows? Maybe some grumpy church members stirring up the pot. But I think the real problem was their relationship with Christ wasn't going well. I guess I could say it wasn't on the right track. They didn't draw near to God based upon what he had done. Think about this. When we are going through rough times, those tough times, always remember, many others have gone through maybe what you're going through or even worse and have had a better attitude about it. They have shown more joy than we do when we're going through tough times. What do you think the difference is between the way you handle it and the way they handle it? They know how to draw near to God. They go with boldness. We should hold fast to the truth as well. You know what happened to some of this bunch? Discouragement set in. Discouragement made them waver from the truth. Think about what happens when we are discouraged. Some get tossed back and forth in the wind and the waves because we forget to go boldly before God. My encouraging words to you is to renew your confidence in the greatness of Christ and this new covenant to make you strong in your faith. Don't you think the words, "let us hold fast," should be written on everything we have? You know, we live in an ever-changing age, and we need to be exhorted and to be rooted. Guys, we need to be rooted in the truth. Let us hold fast. Scripture says we need to do this without wavering. Now, here's the, I would say, the light bulb moment for us. Believing God will do what he promises, whether we see it in our lifetime or not, actually brings glory to God. You see, Israel caved in to fear and doubt and did not hold fast to their trusting faith in God. Christians were called to make this mistake. Instead, we should embrace the confidence we have in Christ and his salvation and act upon it, continuing to believe when there seems to be no hope. And guys, it still brings glory to God. For he who promised, my friends, is faithful. And who is that? It's God. The reason we can stand strong because God is faithful. I'm so glad God is faithful. Life is simply, I would say simply too hard, too complicated at times, too confusing and too painful for us to just make it on our own. And we try to do that on occasions, a time or two, don't we? Think about his faithfulness. What has he brought you through? He is faithful to fulfill his promise, to forgive sins, to work out all things for our good, to meet our needs. So delight in a faithful God. Let me read to you 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So my friends, we should pursue the community of God's people as well. Scripture says, let us consider one another. You know what happened? Discouragement. Discouragement made them avoid community at the very time needed most. That discouragement only comes from whom? The evil one. Comes from Satan. But you know what is good? Jesus meets us in each other to stir up love and good works. This is mutual activity. This is believers actually encouraging one another. This is where believers stir up one another in a good sense, not in a bad sense. But this stir up is in a good sense. This is where believers love. This is called agape. Agape one another. So we should not forsake assembling ourselves together. Now listen closely on this one. I don't want you to lose me. If we forsake meeting together, if we forsake assembling together, this is a way for sure discouragement will set in. All right? And this discouragement will fester where God's people are not exhorting one another. You know, only some people attend service if they feel like it or if they have time to do it. Yeah, it's true. Some only, if they feel like it, may get up and bless us with their presence. However, our motivation for fellowship must to obey God and as well give to others, to encourage one another, to lift each other up. We should gather with believers to encourage, again, one another and stand strong against a tide of discouragement. Did you all know if you attempt to live life on your own without the support of a community, you can run into serious trouble because there'll be no one to support you. You will be at risk to be one of those who just dry up in your walk with Christ and have no one to run the race with. I say this because it is so important, guys. Christians gather together to work together for the glory of God. You see, there's a day approaching, Scripture says. Jesus' return is near. We should be committed to the fellowship of God's people, the assembling together. We as well need to live as if the time is near. Don't forget, each successive Christian generation is called upon to live as the generation of end times, to live as a Christian generation. So let me wrap this up and give you just my final thoughts today. Now, let me say to you and all those that will be listening online, don't stop going to church services. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, Scripture says. Comes right from God's Word, doesn't it? Do whatever you can to encourage others regarding church attendance, because the closer we get to Christ's return, the more we need to meet and become the family of God he actually intended us to be. You know, it's easy to make excuses, isn't it? And find reasons not to attend services on Sunday or even on Wednesdays. It's easy to flake out of even a small group if you're a part of a small group, which I encourage you to be a part of. But none of those reasons really hold up to this inspection, does it? Do you ever think of why you attend services? Why do you go? Think about that. Why even want to be a part of Emmanuel Baptist Church or whatever church you go to? Why do you come on Sunday mornings? Why do you go to Bible study? Why do you go on Wednesday? Why are you even a part of a small group? Well, I think of it this way. You know, guys, there's this beautiful rhythm of life that God established from creation to be a part of. There's also power hearing and living out God's word, being part of a beautiful family together, living life together. There's beauty participating in corporate worship. Worshiping God alone is wonderful, but nothing can replace the beauty of coming together corporately to worship Him with others who also have the Spirit in them through the redeeming work of salvation. You know, another thing meeting together does, it sharpens one another. It allows us to sharpen one another. Proverbs 27:17 tells us that. How about this? How about just to simply exercise your spiritual gifts? When a church body is healthy, it produces, and members realize they are part of something not only to receive, but also to be a blessing to others. How about as to what Scripture taught? How about what it taught us today? And that is simply to be an encourager to one another. You know, I believe we do this in settings like this one, Wednesday evening Bible study times and small group settings. All these things give us discipleship, study, accountability, shepherding, evangelism, prayer, socializing, right, and so forth. So let's continue on and give God the glory as we spur one another along.